Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
All right, everyone, we're back. It's Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. It's Dan Canobio. It's Christopher Algieri, former world champion kickboxer and boxer. Not many fighters, short list, that actually have that distinction. We're coming to you every single week. We're coming to you off the heels of a huge fight between Virgil Ortiz and Erickson Lubin, which created another big fight. Boxing could be buzzing. And on December 6th, boxing will be buzzing in the Lone Star State. We're heading down to San Antonio, Texas. We're going boots shopping. We're going assless chaps shopping. We're doing it all. We're watching the fight. We're interviewing the fighters, and it's all with PPV.com. That is our next big offering. It is the pay-per-view between Lamont Roach and Pitbull Cruz. It's a triple header championship, triple header. And here's the thing with PPV.com, for those that don't know, no subscriptions. We're not locking you in. I know there's a lot of talk right now about pay-per-view model, subscriptions, and all that. PPV.com, a la carte. Go as you please. They don't lock you in. You want to order this fight? Order it with us. Put your email in. Order the fight. Join us in the live interactive chat. Follow us all week long as we do content. Order your next one. So if you're going to order Roach versus Pitbull, do it with us. Do it with PPV.com on December 6th. With that being said, Chris, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm just going to make it a point to tell everyone that I will not be assless chap shopping. That is all you, buddy. But I have talked to a bunch of people via DMs about boots. People are excited about
Ennis?
The idea. No, cowboy boots in Texas. The fact that we're going to go shopping for boots. But we do have to talk about boots, Ennis, because there's a lot of things swirling right now.
Boots shopping. Yeah, so thank you to everyone who has sent us all these stores in San Antonio. I'm getting more and more excited about this. I'm going to a Spurs game.
Mm.
I hit up guy Sean Sweeney, associate head coach of the Spurs, huge listener of the podcast, huge boxing fan. I said, "Hey buddy, I'm heading down to San Antonio." He said, "Say less." I go to my email, spectacular seats for Spurs Grizzlies Tuesday night.
Nice. Early in the week. That's great. Look at that.
Yeah, early. I figured we weren't going to be there yet. I can ask for one more if you're going to be. Yeah, you're not going to be there Tuesday.
Probably not. No.
You're a star. You show up later on in the week.
Yeah, I'm doing. Yeah, exactly. I roll in.
He rolls as a star. He's a freaking kickboxing champion.
I roll in. I hit a home run, and then I go
around the bases, kiss babies, shake hands. All right, let's talk about it, Chris. Virgil Ortiz evaporates Erickson Lubin, does it in two rounds. I don't want to hear this Monday morning quarterback. Lubin was shy. Lubin was this. Lubin was that. Lubin came into this fight as a flawed but strong opponent for Virgil Ortiz. No one has ever done that to Erickson Lubin. Sits up against the ropes in that second round, out on his feet. Great job by the referee to come in and stop it. Virgil Ortiz is a wrecking ball. 22 wins now. 22 knockouts in his 24 wins. Maybe starts a new knockout streak. But were you shocked by how quickly it ended?
So no. So I said before, I was talking about, like, this has the potential to be a very short night because both these guys are super dangerous, and I feel like they're going to start aggressive. I was surprised with how ineffective Lubin was, and that I wasn't surprised that he started a little slow and tried to, keep a measured pace and distance, but he just wasn't turned on. He wasn't activated enough. If you're going to not just meet the guy and bang, you're going to have to box smart. You got to get on that, that back foot and pump that jab. He just didn't do that. He was just not turned on. And with a guy like Ortiz, we now see, even at 54, he does have world-class power and he can knock you out. If you're not switched on, you're going to sleep. And Ortiz, I love what you said. He's a wrecking ball. It's exactly what he is. Because Lubin had his guard up, didn't stop Ortiz. He's guard peeling. Bang. Actually, the knockout shot, the shot that caused all the problems, he did a guard peel and a right hook on the temple. And you just saw Lubin, the lights went out. He didn't go down, but the lights went out. His eyes closed. He fell forward. Virgil just missed with a big ripping left hook. But the ref had seen enough. And I think it was an excellent stoppage.
Excellent stoppage. We're talking about bad stoppages tonight. And right away, I was watching. I said, what the heck? Come on. And then I was like, you know what? He was out.
Yeah.
That was a great stoppage. And oftentimes, we talk about bad judging, and we ridicule these judges. We ridicule these referees. Outstanding job by the referee. I don't have his name. I'm sorry.
there was no need to see Lubin crumbled on the canvas if he got hit with another one of those bombs.
No. Great stoppage. Unbelievable stuff from Virgil Ortiz. This is what I love about Virgil. Virgil Ortiz, he's got to be one of, if not the best, pressure fighter in the game right now. And it's not just walking forward, you know, Rocky Balboa, I hit you, you hit me. No, he's walking forward, and it's tactical. It's educated pressure. He uses angles. Just so crafty on offense. It's a beautiful thing to watch. This guy, man, is really coming into his prime now offensively. Probably the most exciting offensive fighter in boxing.
I was so surprised. Not surprised. I was impressed by his precision. Right at the end of the first round, he had Lubin hands up, and he sticks a straight right hand, which is a great punch against the southpaw, to the pit of the stomach, right to the belly button. Boom! And I was like, ooh, that was a good shot. And Lubin backed up, and then he gets in front of him, and then left hook to the liver. Boom. Right hook to the other side of the elbow. Boom. Just every shot was so well placed. Just perfect execution, great punch variation, finding the holes, because Lubin wasn't giving him anything. You know, he's moving. He's a southpaw. He had his hands up. He has a guard tight. But Ortiz was still able to find the holes in the defense. And then when he was really just shelled up, that guard pull, which I always think of Fernando Vargas with the guard pull. That's the guy who kind of made it famous, that he would do it so much. Pull your guard down with both hands, boom, boom, boom. But, I mean, perfect execution. It was a textbook performance from Ortiz, how to fight a southpaw, how to get a guy out of there. I mean, incredible, incredible stuff. You could see Robert Garcia ear to ear smiling after the fight. Because, listen, I was talking to him for weeks leading up to this fight. You know, we work with him on Pro Box. He was worried, concerned about Lubin's power and his experience, and rightfully so. So when that fight was over and ended the way he did, Robert, like a proud dad sitting there ear to ear smiling, it was great to see.
Yeah, Robert Garcia has the best stable in boxing.
Yeah,
Virgil Ortiz, no Bam Rodriguez at the top. I mean, good gracious, this guy's got one heck of a stable. And yeah, I was looking at Robert in the back. It's like, man, it must be so great to train a Virgil. He just seems like the most perfect pupil in terms of listening. Like, even his answers to Mannix afterwards were like, I wanted to be careful, but I just wanted to be responsible. I wanted to make sure if I threw a hook, my other hand is up. And he took you through piece by piece, and it was super impressive. Obviously, he didn't take any shots, so he wasn't like rattled like we've seen some guys after fights. But I was super impressed with Virgil's whole performance. To be able to do that in, 5 minutes, first round, and then right into the ending of six minutes? Show us that much in 5 or 6 minutes was insanity. Over to Erickson Lubin now, who is going to have a tough road back up to the top. This was probably his last big shot at to get a title, even though this wasn't a title shot, but it would have got him pretty damn close to a title shot at age 30. I love our friend Sergio Mora. He's one of our guys. He yells out, he's a shot fighter. He's a shot fighter. Didn't exactly love that line. I know heading into the fight, everyone wants to be right with their predictions heading in. There were some people that thought these odds were way too wide. Lubin is dangerous. Lubin is a very good fighter at 154. All these odds are too close. Virgil's going to blow this guy out. There were a lot of thoughts out there that Lubin did take a lot of punishment in that Fandora fight and did stick with him for the last 3 years. So I didn't love that he's a shot fighter for a number of reasons. But Lubin, it was more about Virgil and what he did correct and what he did right than it was, okay, Lubin is a flawed this, that, and the other that we'd like to do at these times is we pick apart the loser.
I have to agree with you on the, you know, calling him a shot fighter, because it does two things. One, it delegitimizes the efforts of Ortiz and what he did. And also it typecasts and puts Lubin in a box that he might not necessarily deserve. And if you look at this fight and the way that it ended, it's two explosive guys. These kind of fights can end up like, this fight could have potentially been a fight of the year, back and forth, you know, kind of fight, or one guy gets caught and gets blown out. You know, like that's just the way it is. But I, you know, honestly, I blame Ortiz. I blame Lubin for, like, again, not being switched on. And Ortiz,
why was he up against the ropes so much? Or even at all early on? You're not tired. You shouldn't be tired.
I actually think those body shots were sapped him right away. I think he was hurt to the body right away. Again, that straight right hand right to the pit of the stomach, and then the left hook to the liver. Listen, those things will change everything about you. That'll change what you know. That'll change what your strategy is. You'll do things you've never done before. Getting hit to the body by a good body puncher, and Ortiz is an excellent body puncher, can make you do some silly things. And Lubin, it was very silly to sit on those ropes. But in terms of being a shot fighter, for one, I think it's way too quick to say that. And two, it takes away from Ortiz's victory, because then you just go, yeah, but Lubin was shot. But it's okay, but he did what he's supposed to do. If he is shot, he did what he's supposed to do with the guy. He blew him out in two rounds. And for Lubin, going forward, you know, I was talking about this on the post-fight show on ProBox. You know, he can cash out, because he still has a good name, he still has a good record, and he can fight the up-and-coming guys and be the gatekeeper who makes a ton of money on some of these Riyadh shows and just becomes fodder for the next up-and-coming guys. And maybe he knocks some of them off and stays alive and keeps out there. Or he gets one or two more big paydays and, you know, good paydays. And that's pretty much it. Or he goes through a long rebuilding process and doesn't take on guys of note and is able to stay in the gym, stay disciplined, work his way back up, get a few wins. I'm talking like 3, 4, 5 wins, like a 2-year rebuilding process, and then try to look for, you know, another opportunity once again. But it's going to be a long, hard road for Lubin either way, whether he goes and makes some fast money, you know, with those kind of fights I was talking about earlier, or if he wants an actual rebuild and try for another title. Because as good as that kid is, he's never been a world champion. And likely he will not, he will never be a world champion.
It's kind of crazy with the four belts and being at one weight class for 11 years, Lubin.
Yeah, and at the highest level too. You know, he's fought three of the best guys in recent memory at 154 in
Charlo, Fandora, Ortiz.
You know, Fandora in the middle and then Charlo.
Yeah, that's tough for him, and that's the game. The game is the game, and I like the promotion for this fight. It wasn't a lot of trash talking.
No, it was very respectful. That last sit down with those two, it was like nice. It made you warm, made you feel warm inside.
I like Virgil Ortiz, man. I mean, obviously, I like him in the ring. I'm just talking about like him as he's such a breath of fresh air. He's just
super
like a
regular dude,
right? Plays his guitar. Plays his video games, chirps online, but like he's like one of us, like online. He's a fan. He'll give his opinion on other fights, and you know that could change now because he's going to be stepping into some life changing money. I've seen a lot of these new fighters. You guys change.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Garcia used to be buddies. Me and Teofimo used to go out and party. Then you guys touch M's. Next thing you know, I don't know you anymore, Dan.
Well, Dan, listen, I touched M's, and I know you before and after the M's. I didn't change.
M's. One of the best lines, Danny. What was that, Danny Jacobs? I'm touching M's, bro. When he said that to Charlo.
Charlo.
Behind the Barclays Center. In the Barclays Center, not many know this because I don't know how many people can get back into the bowels. They have all the photos on the walls of every big fight, every big concert. Mm-hmm. They need to frame that moment. Danny Jacobs, Charlo, and then at the bottom, I'm touching M's, quote unquote.
That's awesome.
Because I didn't know that was a term. Did he coin that?
No. But that was that came into the boxing lexicon via Danny Jacobs and that viral moment for sure.
Danny Jacobs was like, bro, DAZN just came out. They're throwing money around. I just linked up with Eddie Hearn. He has an ATM. I'm in the best place possible. I'm going to make $10 million to fight Canelo. I'm touching M's. Charlo, you haven't begun to touch M's yet. And when you do, I'm happy for you. That was a time. Yeah, and people forget Eddie.
He big brothered him right there, big time.
People forget that Eddie in the 2018 DAZN was like current day Saudi, current day Turkey.
Yeah, $1 billion deal. I remember being on a rooftop party with the announcement of that. Like it was like this huge, ridiculous, groundbreaking deal. All this money, and yeah, like Eddie was like a Saudi prince at that point. We're like, oh, Eddie's got all this money, and he's throwing it around.
I grabbed
some of it, not a lot, but I got a little bit.
You got that Triller money, bro.
I gotta take the Triller money. The Triller money was good.
That was
a smash and grab job. Legit smash and grab.
For everyone. We got on at CompuBox and I remember I was counting your fight at the Locks
at
the Garden for the versus battle that was after.
Yep.
Secondhand smoke being really high. We're all getting that Schriller money. Speaking of money, now we get into the negotiations. Now we get into the fun part. Boots Ennis steps into the ring after the fight. There was talks of him not showing up. He trolled us. He said that the government shutdown caused him to miss his flight, and he wasn't going to be able to step into the ring because we know that Eddie Hearn said that we're going to show up to Dallas. We're going to put the pressure. We're going to be ringside. I love that. And then when I saw that Boots put out the Instagram story that the government shutdown was going to, I was bummed because I was like, damn, we need him in the ring. Then he showed. Then they sent the next Instagram pic is him and Eddie. Boots on the ground, literally.
That's awesome.
Pun intended.
Boots on the ground.
You know, that was all Eddie hatching that up. There's no way, like, Boots doesn't like doing any of this shit. Like, he felt like he was forced last night, but he was also did pretty good job talking trash.
He did.
Eddie definitely hatched up that whole government shutdown, you know, bait and switch.
Bait and switch, that's exactly right. I agree. I don't think Boots wouldn't put that much thought into this stuff.
No.
I like fighters like Boots. I'm going to come, sign the contract, put us in the ring, let me whoop your ass. Like, I don't want to do all this, you know, pageantry beforehand.
You
literally have to now, but it's very Marvin Hagler-esque. And in this day and age, it's refreshing for me to see a guy like him who's just kind of like, whatever. But actually, Ortiz is kind of like that too. So the build-up for this fight is going to be a lot of that. Although their back and forth in the ring was pretty solid. Interesting. Got me excited. Got the hair on my neck raising. I'm like, ooh. Yo, Ortiz.
Steve Willis gif. That was me watching that mm-hmm. that interaction mm-hmm. they had after. We'll get to that.
The verbal spar of those guys going back and forth. Excellent.
It was real.
Stuff. It was very real. Very real. They were looking at each other's souls that night. Did you see how they were looking at each other's eyes? Oh, that was fucking awesome.
Hey, that was that, like, 80s shit. I'm invoking the 80s. That was that uncut. You know what I'm talking about? Like that grade A. That was felt real, and it felt authentic. It looked like two guys in their primes. It looked like a fight that should happen right now. No marination. Don't mess this up. Oscar, Eddie, DAZN, Turkey, if you're involved. I'm looking directly into the camera. Don't mess this up. Make it now.
Boxing needs this. American boxing needs this. This fight has to happen next. But the problem is there's so many ways to fumble this. There are so many ways to mess this up, Dan. And I'm getting pessimistic now. I'm turning to pessimistic CA because there's so many ways to mess this up and fumble the bag for everyone. But truly, America needs this fight. Ortiz versus Boots needs to happen.
America falls. If we don't get this fight.
America's over. America's over if this fight doesn't happen. No, American boxing. We're getting hyperbolic. But no, American boxing is we're in a bit of a drought, and we need this type of fight. I think it's going to create an actual star. It's going to create the next face of boxing. And so that's what's important for the future is this fight happening now.
Yeah, so Boots steps into the ring, and they give us a great moment, and Virgil calls him into the ring. Which was, hey, Boots, get over here. Like, all right.
Awesome.
It's all about, like, that little, like, gamesmanship. And, okay, yeah, I'll scurry over. This is my event, Virgil. They get into their, what we just talked about, their little thing, blah, 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 back and forth. It was really good. Go check it out if you haven't already. Can you give me a yes? Virgil said, I love that. You know, Boots was doing his very best at talking trash. He kind of went in with, like, two or three lines. He was, like, a kind of a pull string doll. And he was going to go with those lines. That's fine. You know, he says he never steps out to fights. I didn't like that he had his hood on. I mean, not to sound like a billion-year-old man here. Take the hood off and give us some pictures. You know, like come on. I get it. It's all part of Boots' personality. He was stepping out of his comfort zone. But he says he wants to be the face of boxing. He says this win would get him to the face of boxing. You know, this is 101. Just like Floyd would hype up his opponent. And I didn't like what Sergio Mora said, even though Sergio's not part of the promotion, but he kind of is. Floyd would always hype up his opponent.
Always.
Give his opponent props. So when you beat him, you get the props. So when you beat him, they're not going to say, oh, you already said your opponent was trash. And Floyd smiled, and he did everything right in terms of promoting fights. And that was my one little critique, is I wish we could have seen Boots' face a little more. Small critique. But
also when you talk up your opponent like that, when you struggle with them, it's not like, oh, I thought this guy was a bum. You said he was a bum, and you just struggled to a lackluster decision. So what does that mean? You're just a step above a bum? You know, so yeah, it's a very, very smart move. And I don't understand why more fighters don't do that.
It pisses me off so much.
Yeah.
Like Haney's doing it right now with Norman. Oh, this guy's a bum. Okay, so you beat a bum. Then what? You're a bum.
Yeah. Or the bum beats you. And then what are you? You're less than a bum.
I fucking hate that so much. All right. To the negotiation, Chris. This is where we get pull up our sleeves. You've been at these tables before. I've studied them. They're horrible. But this is horrible. An interesting negotiation horrible. Because neither man has a belt. Yeah, Ortiz has that interim belt, but it's not a real title. And these belts, as we know, are bargaining chips. For traditional negotiations, the fighter with the belt, whoever has more belts, usually can get a little edge up in the negotiation. Neither of these guys have belts. And has had two belts at 147, but this is a new weight class. So when they get into that room, they get to these tables, it's going to be interesting. We're going to have to go down into egos. We're going to have to go down into two promoters stepping in there, Eddie and Oscar, networks being involved, looking at live gates, looking at fan bases, looking at competition, looking at clout. Like, everything is going to come into play. This is not your traditional negotiation between Boots and Virgil Ortiz.
Yes, and when you said egos, I just thought immediately of Oscar and Eddie. That's really going to be the egos about who's going to give up what. Because Oscar sticks to his guns on a lot of things that he's got to, bro. Yeah, but he's got to, but also he does it ego driven, and he won't give up. He won't make concessions that sometimes can really implode deals. I look at Eddie as more of a deal maker. I don't see – Eddie doesn't disrupt deals. Eddie's going to try and make this deal happen and best he can. He's not going to get walked over. But I could see De La Hoya imploding a deal based on what I've seen in the past. Eddie makes deals, and De La Hoya can wreck deals. So it's going to be a very interesting negotiation between these two. And in terms of all those other details, you're going to have to take everything to play. Oscar already is screaming from the rooftop. You see what my guy just did? He's definitely the A side, you know. So he's got to do that. He's putting on his promoter hat, and there is a recency bias. But also, if you compare their last opponents, Lubin was a much bigger name than who Boots just beat. You know, they both destroyed their guys. Yeah, but Lima was a C class fighter, and Lubin, shot or not, is a known entity who had never been stopped that way. So in terms of that negotiating chip, yeah, it's going to be on Ortiz. Also, in terms of popularity and the ability to put butts in seats, it's got to be Ortiz, right?
Not so fast. I think it's even. Like I drew out a little thing here. You know how we do CA's categories?
You are ahead of the game, Dan. I'm proud of you.
Once I get the espresso in me, and I this is not your average negotiation. I mean, you have CA's categories, right, for all the in-ring stuff because you are the champ. How about I got some categories here for this negotiation. I got live gate slash fan base. And I have this one even because Boots has sold out arenas and put over 10,000 in the Wells Fargo. Not easy to do. No. Virgil has done his fair share. I don't know. I don't have the numbers. Okay. I'm not privy to the numbers. But Virgil, from what I saw, kind of struggled a little bit with these sales for this fight. There's a lot of factors that go into that. The fact that U.S. boxing is dormant. A lot of these fights are going overseas. Fans aren't used to blah, blah, blah. Couldn't close to the holidays.
I'm going to bring back the government shutdown again. Traveling is pretty damn tough right now. So
10% of the airspace doesn't exist. So that's making it very hard. I have to put that into this. I'm going to go even because Boots has done really well in recent times. Virgil has done really well in recent times. I think it's damn close. Close enough to have it even in terms of live gate fan base. Better competition, hands down, Virgil Ortiz. 154 pounds. He has now beaten Madrimov. He's beaten Boachuk. He's beaten Lubin. Beat some good name, Mean Machine at 147. Maurice Hooker. Boots has the Stanionis win and a bunch of B or C level opponents. That's an easy Virgil category there. Clout. When I say clout, like you go to a barbershop or you go around, or who resonates more with fans? It's Boots. It's two different demographics. It's Boots. Does he rip the black crowd? Does Boots has that down lock, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then the Mexican crowd, which is a massive part of the sport, massive is behind market. Virgil.
Yes.
I think I'm going to go with Virgil because of the massive crowd. Like,
I would have went the other way in terms of clout. Because when I am in gyms and when I am When I step out, which doesn't happen much, but I have been out a lot more because of this movie and being around all these young actors. And I'm past Unk. I'm OG status. You are Unk. I am OG status. I'm the former champion.
Well, we got like 5 years of Unk before I'm like.
And I'm so out of touch. I'm so out of touch. So I'm past Unk.
I wrote down boots for clout, just to be. Yeah.
From being around, talking to guys and being, I mean, but it is mostly the Northeast, but everyone always asks me about what's up with boots. And that's kind of been the case.
He should be bigger.
Up. Ortiz doesn't come up a whole lot. I'm not going to lie. And even when we do have fights on the other side of the country, I think boots is a bigger clout.
Listen, I wrote down boots. I kind of talked myself into the Mexican fan base got into my mind.
Well, that was my thought about the butts and seats and the gate was the Mexican fan base because the market is so good.
Yeah, but boots has done really well in Philly.
Yeah, I know.
Boots reminds me of like a trajectory that Tank was on.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm trying to think. I was gonna make a point like, yeah, but could boots do it in other places other than the Northeast? But I'm like, could Virgil do it in other places than
maybe,
Texas and Vegas?
Because of how strong Mexican fan base is. If they put Virgil in Southern California, maybe. Boots in Southern California are not going to sell. No. You can't really hold that against the fighter. Both these guys.
I think if you put Ortiz in New York, I don't think it's going to sell either.
Exactly. Put Boots in New York, yes, because it's close to Philly. There's a lot of different factors here, and they leak into each other. But I'm going to go with Boots for clout. Boots should be so much bigger. He should be huge. Like, but he had his pitfalls, and that's all behind him now. We're looking to the future. I'm going clout boots. And then my last category here is who has the better promoter. And I think it's boots. I think Eddie Hearn's the best boxing promoter in boxing in boxing right now. I think Eddie can, like you said, is a deal maker. Oscar has a smaller stable, so he has to be very careful. You know, Virgil was one of his prize pupils. All these guys have network deals, output deals. I understand they're on the same network, so that should make this fight easier in theory, but it hasn't shown to be the case over the last couple of years.
Generally, what's a bigger issue? Opposing networks or opposing promoters?
For years, it's always been the network because it was always Showtime or HBO, and then, you know, there was only
We see how fluid DAZN is, though.
You would think DAZN sucking up all the promoters, and that sounded really bad.
Unk move.
You would think DAZN, they pretty much have a monopoly now. It's outside of Amazon Prime, PBV.com, like all fights are on DAZN. So this should not stop a fight from happening. But I think of the HBO Showtime wars and the history of HBO Showtime. There's only been two co-promotions, Mayweather Pacquiao and Tyson Lewis. This fight is not anywhere even close to that.
No,
not that it even has to be, which is like my next point is this is the best fight to make in boxing. It's not the biggest.
But again, the potential for creating the next face of boxing is there. So the potential for being big down the line, there's a lot of implications with this fight.
Promoter, I'm going Eddie Hearn and Boots' side.
Agreed.
To put a button on that. But one thing we haven't talked about, lording over all of this, is Turkey involved in this fight?
I don't think he's going to sit on the sideline while this is going down.
We've seen different levels of Turkey sitting on sideline. He's either 100% behind it, and it most likely would have to be in Saudi Arabia. We can all agree this fight belongs in the U.S. Or Turkey's a big part of it, and it's in a big stadium. Canelo Crawford, this is not a stadium fight, at least I don't think. Is he going to sponsor it? Point being is we're talking about this negotiation, how it can go left, how it can go right, because we're talking about the old traditional ways negotiations have gone before Turkey was in the picture. If Turkey is in the picture and he's willing to throw down a large exorbitant fee that – we've seen now has squashed these negotiations, has squashed the posturing because there's the money. Is that the case in this fight? Because I think Turkey has said that he wants to be part of it, and I don't see why he wouldn't want to be part of it because it's a hot fight. It's one of the best fights you can make. It's got everything. So that remains to be seen here because I agree. Like, this could go south with Oscar and his quotes after the fight that I did not like. This could go south with what Eddie said because after the fight, I'm walking around. I have the DAZN on the TV, and I'm, like, doing something in the kitchen. And I hear Oscar, we hold all the cards. I was told by Oscar's really good. What'd you think there?
That was not bad.
We hold all the cards. Chris, hold on. When I say it has to be favorable for Virgil, that's the obvious case. Look at what we did. Virgil Ortiz is the man. We hold all the cards. What's up, East LA?
Why does he always talk like that? He didn't talk like that back in the day.
He has two voices. I've interviewed him. When he's just standing there, he's just chilling, and I go up, I say, "Hey, Oscar, do you mind doing an interview?" He literally gets into a different persona. It's freaking awesome, and he gives you the best interview.
Oscar's the best.
The minute the interview's over, I go, "Shit," I go give him a fist pump, and he's gone. He's out of that phone booth.
Poof, and he's gone. Yeah, and I don't think so. I had a long conversation over the weekend. Someone who wasn't really a boxing fan. This was at the Pro Box fights on Friday night.
Those are great, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, they were. It was a great card.
I tuned in from start to finish. Usually, I'll catch here and there. Good fights, good production. You guys have a good thing going there.
Yeah, it's we're making some real headway too. But there was someone there that I was chatting with, and Oscar De La Hoya came up probably because of Ortiz, and they were basically saying like, well, he's just like that guy who was in the fishnets, and you know, and him and Dana just fight. And I'm like, no, he's one of the best fighters that we've ever seen. Like he's
I probably hurt your soul when you heard that.
People just don't know. But the guys I was talking with actually jumped down their throat and was like, no, Oscar is a superstar, is my favorite, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, thank God there's some people here who know what the hell they're talking about, some people who know something about boxing. But in terms of, my point was, for you guys at home who have never met Oscar, never been around Oscar, he's awesome. I know he gets shit on in the media a lot. He's awesome. He's a great guy.
He's a key figure. We need him.
Key figure. He's super affable. He's great with fans and people talking, like regular people. Tremendous guy. But in terms of you made me think, Dan, when you were talking, I was thinking about what I said about Eddie makes deals and De La Hoya disrupts deals. You know what can overcome the disruption? Turkey and Turkey's money. And we've seen De La Hoya bend more than he normally would because the paycheck's bigger and because he's not taking as much risk. So I actually think Turkey is going to help this fight come together because there are many roadblocks.
Are they going to, does that mean the fight's going to be in Saudi? Because this is an American fight. I think with Saudi, and we've given them their props and we've criticized them when we needed to. They have now kind of read the room and said, not every fight has to be in Saudi.
Right.
We like Eubank Ben obviously belongs in a big time soccer stadium in the mm-hmm. UK. Canelo Crawford belongs in the US. Virgil versus Boots belongs in the US.
It belongs in Vegas. I mean, you could do it
neutral ground, Vegas.
Yeah. You could do it in Dallas, but then it would be way too, stacked.
Can't do it in Philly.
Can't do it in the East Coast. That's a Vegas fight. And it has the feel of a big Vegas fight. Do they do the sphere? But if Turkey wants it and he wants it to be big, you know, and he's not going to do it in Saudi.
This is a fight that doesn't need all that, those bells and whistles. T-Mobile.
True.
Decent undercard. Give me like an all-out. Give me Mabili on the co-main.
Oof.
Mabili, Lester rematch.
So, yeah, some news about that, actually.
Shit. Breaking news.
We got Lester coming back in March. And it doesn't look like it's in Billy.
Okay, so that's not happening. But whatever. Give me a good co-main event. Not the co-main event we saw last night. It was dreadful.
Yeah. Fulgham? Yeah.
Fulgham?
The card was weak. The
card sucked.
Card was super weak.
It was bad on paper, and it was bad in reality. Execution, The main event was a you carved through him.
Yeah, that's... That card, man. I'm so spoiled by Pro Box TV cards that are so damn good. Like I did a DAZN card a couple
MVP,
weeks ago.
These MVP cards have been
They're good too.
Pro Box and MVP putting on at the club level. Everyone's like, hey, ESPN Friday Night Fights are gone. You just gotta search a little more.
No, they're here. They're right MVP here. We
prospects are killing it right now. I'm happy that we're both part of it. But back to Oscar. You know, he said some crazy shit after the fight, and he has to. You know,
that's what he does.
Virgil's the A side. He's blah, blah, blah. You know, it's his event. Virgil just got the knockout. He would be not doing his job, Oscar, if he didn't say these things. Do they annoy us? Yes. When asked, what if Eddie Hearn says that Boots is the man? Oscar says, he better not. He does his little smile and then walks away. I'm going to have to do this for Oscar. I'm going to have to do this impression for Oscar. That's a different video for another day. But not to just lump all on Oscar, because this is we know negotiations are back and forth. No promoter is above the other when it comes to tactics. Eddie Hearn says that Jerron Ennis has options. Jerron Ennis has options outside of Virgil Ortiz. He can fight any of the 154 champions, which in theory he can, but they're all pretty much locked up. They're all fighting on January 31st. Or we can fight Jermell Charlo, who was in the crowd. Or we can fight Danny Garcia, sell out the Wells Fargo Arena in Philly, passing of the torch type of fight. So it's not just Oscar that we're going to lump and jump on here. Eddie is posturing. Eddie, it's a negotiation, guys.
Well, he has to. You have to. You've got to put your ammo in the gun, man. And he's setting himself up is Eddie, because it's going to be a firefight between those two. It's a firefight between Eddie and Oscar. And he's got to be able to, you know, put himself in position, because Oscar has a lot of momentum based on what Ortiz did last night. So Eddie needs to steel man his arguments and create these ideas that, yeah, we got options. And he does. The options you mentioned are good options. Charlo fight, huge fight. Money fight. Passing of the torch type fight also. The Danny Garcia fight, super passing of the torch in Philly. Is that a really intriguing fight? I personally don't think so, but it makes sense because of, you know, the Philly connection. I think the Charlo fight is much better and more important and is bigger, especially because Charlo was there chirping at Boots right in his face, which was,
you know, who else was there, Chris?
Pretty telling. Not me.
The big fish, the big shark, Errol Spence.
Oh, looming. Spence was looming in there.
Circling.
Did he retire? No, he didn't retire.
He hasn't fought since Crawford fight.
He's
not officially retired. No.
Okay, those damn memes come out and they're like, oh, officially retired. God damn it. I got got.
Those are all fake. I saw a meme the other day that Canelo and Eddie Reynoso have split.
That's not true.
I know. He just put out a whole post about his birthday. It was Eddie Reynoso's birthday. Those are all hearsay. But Spence was there too. He's not at the forefront. Charlo is much more of a candidate than Spence is, because he's just younger and whatever. What we want to see Boots versus Virgil. There's no need for a marination. I have a lot of people chirping me. Oh, I wish there was a belt on the line. They should wait till next year till one has a belt. I wish it was a unification. You guys are brainwashed.
Yes.
Congratulations, fans. You're officially brainwashed to think that a fight needs a belt for it to be elite. Yes, it's a rare occurrence. I can't remember a fight of this magnitude or of this talent level that doesn't have a belt attached to it. We're in a four-belt era. It's kind of cool. I think they should embrace it the opposite way. Instead of putting up some ridiculous graphic, Undisputed or Unification or some trinket belt, say that we don't need belts. No belts. Just real boxing. God, I should be in marketing.
And the fighters are going to benefit because they don't have to pay that 3% sanctioning fee. So there's going to be big money in this fight.
Well, here's
I'm thinking about it from a fighter's perspective. I love belts. I love championships. I love that. But this fight really doesn't need it. And it's that big of a fight. There's that much of a groundswell to see these two guys get in the ring together. And again, I'm going to keep harping on, I think the winner of this fight becomes the face of boxing, because boxing needs a face. Canelo is on the way out. He's no longer going to be seen as that guy. He might not be already. And we got to see what he does with his career moving forward. But yeah, the face of boxing is going to come out of the victor of this fight.
I agree. And when I was watching them in that ring, I was feeling a lot of things, hair standing up in the back of my neck, etc. When I saw Virgil and when I saw Boots in that ring, I thought of Spence and Crawford.
Yeah.
And I thought about that fight happening at the right time. I thought of Spence Crawford 2018, 2019. And we could potentially have that with Virgil and Ennis. We need to make that now. We need to not wait a year till they have a belt, 2 years, because then 2 years turns into 3 years. Then all of a sudden something happens. I'm not going to say, you know, Spence, that stuff happened to him and it derailed his career and derailed that fight. Eventually we got it. We got it 5 years later, and we can argue till the cows come home if Spence was still in his prime or if Crawford was still in his prime. It has shown that Crawford is still in his prime and is still great. But the point is that fight happened 4 or 5 years too late, Spence and Crawford.
Yeah, this four or five years too late, and Spence was damaged goods, at least to some degree. No one's walking out of those car accidents. No one's walking out of those car accidents the same guy. So
no, he did look great against Ugas.
He did. But I'm not. But even that guy was damaged. But I'm not taking away from Terrence. Terrence destroyed him, and he might have done that to the best version of Spence as well. But I agree with you entirely. We got to see this fight now. Otherwise, we're going to do the thing that boxing always does, and they just over-marinate. Over-marinating a steak makes it too salty. And when you get salty steak, it defeats its own purpose. So if you over-marinate a fight like this, yeah.
Steak black and blue. Yours is still mooing.
Still mooing. But I don't like to marinate it either. I throw it on the fire. Get it going. Throw it on the grill. Boom. Eat. That's what you need to do with this fight.
I will say this. If turkey's involved, it happens in April or May. If turkey's not involved, I put this fight at a 40% chance of happening because of everything we just listed, all the egos and the everything, options.
Yeah, my pessimism is rising a lot. Yesterday I'm talking to you, I'm like, this is happening. This is definitely happening. Now I'm like, I don't think it's probably not going to happen right away. Damn it.
And the fans are so hardened. They're so calloused that – like, this isn't even – like, yeah, it got me excited, and it should get the boxing fan excited seeing them in the ring. But it's always a what-if now. It's always like, yeah, it's great they're in the ring. Let's see when they're actually in the ring and the bell's about to ring and they're about to fight because of the Eddie Hearns and the Oscars and the traditional negotiation games that go on. This isn't a huge fight. This is a big fight. I mean, this isn't a huge fight. It's a big fight. This is the best fight you can make at boxing, I think, talent-wise. And like you said, it's going to create a huge star. So there is a lot riding on it. Oscar's got a smaller stable than Eddie does. He has to be very careful how he moves. This is a business. You can fault Oscar all you want. He has to be careful with what he's got. And I would say Virgil is definitely leapfrogged almost everyone at Golden Boy, right? In terms of, like, Ryan still is Ryan, and he'll bring in eyeballs.
Ryan's always Ryan. But
he's about to leave.
Is he, though? I mean...
I don't know. I'm not getting into that.
I don't know either. But
ball of wax.
I just want to talk about what you're talking about with how boxing fans are hardened. It's like we have Stockholm syndrome. We're like the beaten captive that has been tortured for so long, but we're still like, yes, hit me again. We're just okay with getting beaten over and over again and just beat constantly. But we still show up, and we're still happy that when the fights actually do happen. But man, what a fumble this would be if this fight takes 3 years to make.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I'm hoping for the best. They have a lot of momentum. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up, everybody. The powers that
we just got so downtrodden as we were talking about that.
You started the show so excited.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, fuck, this is probably not going to happen, this fight. Like, it's better off.
Wind out of my sails right now.
But I will say 2026 is looking pretty good, man. 2026 is looking pretty good. 2025 has not been a good year. We got Canelo Crawford. We got some nice fights. Not nearly enough. Tank Roach turned it to be a memorable night. Ben Eubank turned it to be a memorable night. Usyk gave us a glorious performance. Inoue fought four times. Thank you to Naoya Inoue. Times Square card was a disaster. Canelo Skull, disaster. Too many inactive stars. With that being said, Chris, I think 2026 is positioned to be really big. Tio and Shakur, looks like that's getting to the finish line. Crawford at 160. 147 is going to see a revival. Inoue Nakatani, Usyk, Wardley, Atuma maybe, Joshua Fury maybe, Virgil Ortiz maybe, Virgil
Pacquiao
Hoops,
Mayweather.
Maybe.
Pacquiao Mayweather again.
Sprinkle that in. Doesn't have to be the main thing. That could be a little add-on. Yeah. 2026 could be huge.
That's something I am optimistic about is 2026 is what's going to happen next year. Because this was kind of a rebuilding year. We kind of a rough year, like you said. But everything is falling into place that 2026 is going to be a banger. And we'll be ready for it all. Because what the hell else are we going to do?
I'm hoping for a big year, man. Like this year... Last year was great. 2023 to 2024 were phenomenal. And before that, for the last 10 years, we've gotten the one good year, one bad year. One good year, one bad year. Obviously, Turkey came into play and Showtime going out of business and looking for a seller inspire them to put on really good fights in 2023. So we got really good fights in 2023 and 2024. This year has been, I would say, overall not great. And we need it to be good. As someone who makes a living in the sport, personally, I want this sport to be great. Also, who's someone who loves this sport, I just want it to be, I want it to be awesome. It is the best sport when done right. And those fights that we just listed could potentially all happen. And even in the first quarter, it looks like Shakur Stevenson and Teofimo are going to come to an agreement, or have come to an agreement, for a January 31st fight in Madison Square Garden. Shakur opens up as a plus. Shakur opens up as a minus 350 favorite. Wow. I believe that's correct.
Wow. It's big. Three and a half to one favorite for Shakur. Wow.
I think it's Shakur's fight to lose.
Absolutely. No, Shakur should be the favorite. But that, you know, that puts, because Teofimo with a chip on his shoulder, he's a bad boy. He goes in there thinking, you got me at him. 3-1? Dog? Okay. Watch what this dog does. This dog's about to bite. When he's a dog, he shows up. Lomachenko, dog. Taylor, dog. When he's the favorite, he normally fumbles.
Well, we'll say tough this. Fights.
Jermaine Ortiz, Steve Claggett.
Shakur's not going to be coming forward. I know Lomachenko didn't for the most part, and Josh Taylor was tailor-made, pardon the pun. Shakur is not going to – this fight is not going to be like a banger. And I've said that, and I got ridiculed, and now I'm seeing all these very similar sentiments trickle in over the last couple of months. Got crucified for saying that this fight wasn't going to be a banger, Teofimo and Shakur. Shakur hopped on and said, you don't even like boxing. People were coming at me left and right. And then I see our colleague, Chris Mannix, just last night on a little thing, little snippet they did for this fight, and said, this fight's going to be a stinker. And it is. There's a very good chance.
Why are you so accessible by all these fighters to just attack when you...
Maybe it's my face. I have a punchable face.
Yeah, a little bit.
More than Mannix?
No. Thank you. Definitely not. Definitely not more than Mannix.
I don't know, man. I'm doing something right, because
maybe it's just because Mannix is tall. So you're shorter. These guys are, you know,
they think they can punch down on me.
They're your size. You know, Teofimo, Ryan, Shakur, you're all in their weight class. So maybe that's why they feel the need to attack you.
I'm doing directly. My job. I'm putting out my takes. In the summer, when this fight first got introduced, Shakur and Teofimo, I said, I like it. It means a lot. It's very meaningful for the sport, like, that these big names get into the ring. But don't be shocked if it's kind of like a dull fight that Shakur wins 8-4. And the odds are saying that. 3.5 to 1 is pretty big odds. These are opening odds. Yep. So this isn't I think they'll shrink. More money will come in on Teofimo, because people aren't sold on Shakur. People aren't sold on Teofimo. But this is Shakur's Super Bowl. I'm very excited for him, and he's very excited. He's tweeting like crazy. You know, Teofimo's been in some bigger events. Shakur has yet to get that guy in the ring with him. This fight's going to be great. MSG? Oof. Music for my ears.
Awesome. This is a good thing for the sport as well. I'm surprised it's happening, but... because we're so used to these fights not happening when guys are in their 20s. And these guys are both young. They're both going for it. This could potentially open up. Listen, if Shakur wins, especially if the fight is somewhat entertaining, or if he just puts on a masterclass, and if he shuts out Tio 11-1, and you're like, whoa, then we're like, okay. Now
top
we
have, 5 pound for pound?
Right. Now we're like, we're talking Floyd Mayweather type guy. Now, this is a... the kind of guy who's so damn good that he's going to become popular just because of that, just because he's going to beat everyone. He's going to beat all of your favorite fighters, and he'll be in the driver's seat so guys can't duck him. That's what Floyd did. So yeah. This is an interesting fight. If Teo wins, do we immediately check him into an insane asylum? Because you mentioned how he's going to act after that. He's going to be flying.
I love either option. I'm going to be honest. I love either option because I'm hungry.
Both are good.
We got to go for everything in 2026. We have to be bold in this sport. The sport is dangling right now in terms of popularity, and we have all the ingredients to make it big again. I'm all for either outcome. If Shakur wins, he becomes a star. If Teofimo wins, he's going to go nuts. He's going to go crazy, and it's going to be great.
It's so fun when he does that, when he goes nuts. It's very fun.
And I will say this.
Problem with Teofimo is that when he gets like that, he's not active. And with if he beats Shakur,
he fought once this year.
Yeah, he's going to be he's healthy, so sought after. He's going to be so sought after if he wins, and it really hurts him and the sport if he wins and then disappears. Like that's not good for anybody. But Shakur wins, I think we're going to see a lot more as long as he stays healthy. Those damn hands. As long as he stays healthy. So.
Well, this fight isn't announced 100%. Yeah, I know Mannix broke it, and they gave a date, and they gave a venue, which is a lot more than we've heard. I would say it's like 90% done. Once it gets officially done, we'll do a full breakdown on it. But we were allowed to get a little excited here. We were down, we were up. We were down, we were up on this episode. You know, we were excited, we were down.
I think we're
back up.
We're leaving on a good note. Though. I feel better now. I feel better. I'm not as depressed. I'm not going to go slip my wrists like I was when we were talking about the Boots Ortiz fight. Now I'm feeling optimistic.
All right, yeah. Let's end there then. It's been a great episode. We'll see what happens with these negotiations between Virgil Ortiz and Boots Ennis. We will come back later on in the week with a preview of Conor Benn, Chris Eubank 2.
Oh, yeah, that's happening. That's happening.
Weirdest promotion ever. The first one was promoted itself and it had everything. It was a movie. Impossible to replicate that. Impossible. This is just like bad blood now. Like I feel like it's going to get ugly in there.
Yeah, I can agree on that. I don't know. This is very odd that the way that this has unfolded leading up to the fight, like people don't really seem to care. A lot of the bad blood when they are together seems a little bit fabricated, and it doesn't feel as realistic as it did the first time. The first time was epic. It didn't need anything. It just was. It was dynamic. It was real. It was genuine. This one feels the opposite. But hopefully we get another good fight. First fight was good. But it would be really hard to duplicate and get another barn burner like the last one.
Oh, Chris, we do have to end the show on somewhat of a somber note. I did want to say this. Over the weekend, Al Bernstein's wife passed away, Connie Bernstein.
Oh.
Yeah. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Al put out a tweet. And everyone, you know, all the boxing fans came pouring in. I just wanted to say, we're thinking about you, Al. I've gotten to lucky enough to know Al since I was a kid. You know, ESPN Friday Night Fights going with my dad, then into Showtime, then into my professional career. The most upstanding of individual, I'm not just talking boxing, because we all love Al. And if you're a boxing fan, you love Al. He's the standard when it comes to broadcasting. He's just a great human being. I mean, this guy is so lovable, gives me unsolicited advice on broadcasting and compliments. And I've been on some of his, he's interviewed me, which I found to be probably a great thrill. His wife lost a battle with cancer. He tweeted about it. And we're thinking about you, Al. We love you. And boxing fans love you.
Al, yeah, we love you. Sorry for your loss. That's horrible news. I didn't hear that. And absolutely, I second everything you said. Dan about Al, incredible person. He's too good for boxing, honestly. Like he's not like
exactly yeah, right.
he's too good for boxing. We don't deserve Al in this sport because there's so many knuckleheads. But send him thoughts and prayers.
All right, Al. We hope you're hanging in there, and everyone will see you early next week or later this week. All right, everyone, take care.